Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Doctoral Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service of public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on worms, intestinal parasites, when we come back. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child in the world. Today, it's less than 38 days. Now, we produce grain for export, but then we turn around and our grapes are imported from Chile, our tomatoes come from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support the Global 2000 Population Reduction Program. Now, globalization may be good for business, but globalization is certainly bad for you, and it's bad for me. Now, back in 1940, we all had a pantry full of food to feed our families for a year or more. Today, we have a three-day supply in our refrigerators, and we believe in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us all. But over the past 60 years, we've created a one-year food supply for 3 days. Now, do you think that's very wise? Now, these global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, or so says the Club of Rome, if you can believe them. And these evil madmen with their global 2000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause, and then let you and I live for ours. So let me show you from the scripture how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. And if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package. Now that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine and send an email request for your free General Law CD package. That's georgegordon.org or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time we went through the first 10 cures for parasites, intestinal parasites. I said last time that if you can't solve the problem, you don't need to talk about it. Fortunately, there's a solution for intestinal parasites and the 56 diseases that they cause, including epilepsy, chronic fatigue syndrome, migraine headaches, and multiple sclerosis, just to name a few of the diseases, the symptoms that you develop when your system, your body, is overwhelmed by intestinal parasites. And these parasites, remember, don't just live in your gut or your stomach or down in your intestines. These intestinal parasites are scattered throughout your body. There may be some in your brains, your eyeballs. It can be in your fingers and hands and legs and toes. You don't know where they're going to be or what they're going to do. They may be in vital organs like your liver, and you get liver flukes. You may have an appendicitis caused by worms. So you go to the hospital. You have your appendix cut out. The problem wasn't your appendix. The problem was the parasites. They cut your appendix out but do nothing for the parasites that caused the problem to start with. And that's understandable. After all, that's where the money is made. The money is made in treating disease, not curing it. And allopathic medicine doesn't have a cure for anything. And if they do, send me an email and you know what it is. What can they cure? Well, they tell you if they cut, burn, and poison you enough and you don't die in 5 years, that's a cure to cancer. I say that's a far cry from a cure to cancer. Now, cancer is relatively easy to cure, but Huldah Clark said this. She said that every cancer patient she's seen was infested with worms. So the connecting link between cancer and worms, the connecting link between epilepsy, chronic fatigue syndrome, migraine headaches, and multiple sclerosis, and a whole host and plethora of other diseases is well documented. And in fact, this week I have cited numerous examples from PhDs and medical doctors who have written the books on parasitology, they call it, and they have confirmed those facts. But none of them in the medical profession come forward and say, what we need to do is attack parasites and get rid of them. Let's take a look at the other side of it. Not only do you need to attack and get rid of them, you need to prevent reinfestation. What causes this infestation of parasites to start with? We talked about pets and dogs and a few odd things. Let's take a look here at the practical advice on avoiding parasites, and we'll come back and finish up with some more practical examples of here's how to kill them and get rid of them. Now, here are a few preventive measures that you can take to avoid getting worms and parasites in the first place. Meats, chicken, and fish. Rule 1, don't eat raw beef. Beef can be loaded with tapeworms and other parasites, and you should avoid steak tartare. This is a German dish which is mixed with raw onions and raw egg yolk. If you like steak, cook it well done, not rare or medium rare. One expert feels beef is dirtier than pork in this respect. If you do like to eat your meat rare, I would regularly follow a lot of the advice in this report. Make sure the inside of any meats, chicken, or fish that you eat is cooked thoroughly. Many times the outside may be done, but the inside may not be done. In this case, you may be eating worm eggs, which can later hatch in your body. Now, recently I read an article in the Wall Street Journal on October the 10th, 1990, about the food processing industry. And it said, food processors are using less heat in making prepared food for the refrigerator case of the supermarket. Plus, they mentioned that microwave cooking can leave cold spots in the food. And these two points must be considered in avoiding parasites. If you do use a microwave oven, make sure that it cooks your food thoroughly. Rule 2. Don't eat raw fish, such as sushi. You're almost certainly going to get worms by eating raw fish, and these can stay in your body for many years. The eggs hatch, have babies, grow up, and start the whole cycle over again. If you go out to a Japanese restaurant, there are many delicious things that you can order on the menu besides sushi. Now, I used to love the raw tuna rolls. Now, after I learned about the dangers of worms, I order avocado and cucumber rolls instead. It's far safer. And I personally will never eat raw fish for the rest of my life. Rule 3. Be sure you wash meat, chicken, and fish in a special Clorox bath. This does not apply to ground meat. That's not the hamburger. Follow the instructions for purifying meat before you cook them. This special bath was devised by Dr. Hazel Purcells over 30 years ago, and this is very critical. Your meats will taste better than ever, and if you follow this procedure, the instructions are place a half a teaspoon of Clorox in a gallon of water, then place the meat, chicken, or fish in that bath. The timing is 15 to 30 minutes for a 2 to 5 pound weight. A frozen turkey or chicken can remain in the Clorox bath until it is thawed. All meats should be treated in the baths with the exception of ground meat. And after the bath in Clorox, let all of the meat sit in a bath of plain water for 10 minutes. Dr. Purcells claims that this special bath will eliminate the poisons in the meat, and she also says that it will improve the flavor. Rule 4. Be careful about handling raw meat, chicken, and fish. You never know what parasitic eggs are on the meat, and you can easily transfer a parasite to your mouth without even knowing it. You may cut yourself while you're cutting the meat. The blood and spores from the meat can go right into your blood. You may want to consider using throwaway gloves. Even when meat is frozen, be careful. The spores may be inactive, but they may not be dead. They can come to life when the meat thaws out. Rule 5. Wash your hands after handling raw meat, chicken, or fish. A person should thoroughly wash their hands after handling any raw meat, raw chicken, or raw fish. This also applies to people who like to fish. Many times people cut open a fish right at the lake, river, or ocean, and you can easily wipe your hand across your lips and get infected. Rule 6. Be careful when you're handling raw shrimp. You can easily pick up parasites by handling raw shrimp, and you may get some stuck in your fingernails. Now, I read about this in a medical journal. You may wipe your face after you take the shells off the shrimp, and you may even be eating shrimp that is not cooked thoroughly. Shrimp are scavengers of the ocean floor. Shrimp are filthy. Rule 7. Use a separate cutting board for vegetables and meats. When raw meats and chickens are cut on a board, spores can seep into the board. Then, when you later use the board, these spores can come out. So if you're slicing bread on the same board, you take the chance of picking up contamination from the meat. And it's best to use a separate board for meats, vegetables, and bread. You need a meat board, a vegetable board, and a bread board. And when you wash these boards, wash them with a mild Clorox solution. Use 1 tablespoon of Clorox to a gallon of water. And ideally, you should use a hard plastic board instead of wood for vegetables and meats. They're less porous, and they clean up easier and better. Number 8. Be sure you wash your utensils thoroughly after cutting meat. Be careful of utensils like knives and pans and pots which touch uncooked meat, chicken, or fish. You can use a knife on frozen meat and then use the same knife to chop up raw carrots for salad. All it takes is one microscopic egg to infest you all over again. Now, you need to wash your vegetables and fruits with a Clorox bath. Any fruit or vegetable can carry spores. And when you eat those spores, the spores can later hatch in your body and then give you worms. Lettuce, carrots, tomatoes, radishes, apples, grapes, they all should be washed properly before they're eaten. And as I mentioned earlier, the spores from the liver fluke can be attached to watercress greens. Watercress is a favorite of many health-minded people. And if just one of those spores gets in your body, you can get a liver fluke. So after a special Clorox bath, fruits and vegetables will taste better, and they will keep fresh longer. And they will protect you when they're washed with Clorox bath from getting reinfected. Now, I talked to a worm expert, Dr. Hazel Parcells, and she gave us the following instructions for washing food. She's been using this method for the last 30 years with great success. And many who have followed this method say that their food is better tasting and keeps fresher longer. Dr. Parcells says this bath will make the fruits and vegetables taste like they just came from the garden. And she claims the bath will destroy the effects of sprays, germs, fungus, and metallics. And she also claims that it will get rid of the effects of possible radiation as far as the parasitic spores go. And she said that it is the washing effect which helps to remove them. And she also claims that the mineral activity of the fruits and vegetables will be increased. So here are the instructions. You can use either formula number one or formula number two. Formula number one is put 1 tablespoon of baking soda into 1 gallon of water. And washing formula number two, put 1/2 teaspoon of Clorox in 1 gallon of water and do not use the scented Clorox. Use the old-fashioned Clorox. Place your fruits or vegetables into either of these baths. Do not use more Clorox or soda than is recommended. And this will even help thick-skinned fruits like bananas and oranges. Then there's a timing chart. Leafy vegetables, 10 to 15 minutes. Root vegetables, like rutabagas and carrots, 15 to 30 minutes. Thin-skinned berries, 10 to 15 minutes. Heavy-skinned fruits, 15 to 30 minutes. Eggs, 20 to 30 minutes. And they'll have better flavor and less allergies. And meats per pound, about 5 to 10 minutes per pound of meat. You got a 1-pound piece, put it in 5 to 10 minutes. If you get a 10-pound piece of meat, let it soak in there for a couple hours. When the bath is complete, remove the food from the bath and then place it into a freshwater bath for 5 to 10 minutes. Rinse off the Clorox water. Let the food drain well before placing it in the refrigerator or cooking it. Number 10, worms love simple sugars. So to reduce the level of worms, it's best to eat complex carbohydrates rather than refined sugar. Try to cut down on all of the fruit juices. A lot of people drink far too much fruit juice and avoid the soft drinks also. Remember, soft drinks contain 9 to 12 teaspoons of refined sugar in every 12-ounce pop can. You can only digest about 3 teaspoons of sugar per day. Did you get that? Let me repeat that. The incidence of diabetes has doubled over the past 20 years. At the same time, the consumption of soda pop has doubled over the last 20 years. It would be my guess that over the next 20 years, if we can double the consumption of soda pop, I think we can double the rate of diabetes again. Let's give it a shot. If diabetes is what you want, drink more soda pop. But it's even worse than that. The parasites in your body live on and thrive on simple sugar. So if you can just put more refined sugar into your gut, you can feed more worms. They can multiply faster and give you greater disease potential. Simple sugars will do it. Number 11, don't drink out of streams and rivers. No matter how clear and fresh the water looks, you never know what parasitic spores or larvae are in the water. Remember, many types of parasites are invisible to the naked eye. They're too small for you to see. Number 12, be careful of salad bars. If the vegetables aren't washed properly, they could contain parasitic spores. You need to be careful. Number 13, cheeses. According to one worm expert, you should avoid cheeses which have been aged a long time. She said, if you looked at some cheeses under a microscope, you'd never eat it. She said the cheeses, which are not aged long, are the safest. And then there are your pets. Number 14, be careful about sleeping with your pets. Almost all pets have parasites that you can pick up from them. One colonic therapist said that pet owners had worms that other people didn't have. Keep them as clean as you can. The worms and parasites from the pet often lay the larvae in the sheets and blankets. If you have a pet, clean your sheets and blankets regularly. Don't sleep with cats and dogs. Worm your cats and dogs and keep their worms under control. Many people have dogs that run loose in the country. You can be sure that they're loaded with parasites and worms. Most likely, so are you. Number 15. Have your dog or cat dewormed regularly. Check with your vet on the best methods. The less worms that are in your pet, the better it is for both you and your pet. 16. Clean your pet's sleeping and resting area. If your pet sleeps in a basket or blanket, make sure that it's cleaned regularly. You can deflea your dog, but unless the eggs are destroyed where they sleep, the fleas will come right back. The same applies to the carpet. Wherever those pets sleep, you can be sure there are parasites, whether they're ticks or fleas or intestinal parasites. Number 17, be careful of pets licking your face or your arms. Parasites from a dog's saliva can enter your body after a dog licks you. If practical, wash your hands after an animal licks you, especially if it's not your own. And if you have a small child, keep his toys away from the dog. Saliva from the dog can get on the toy. Children put anything in their mouths that they can. So after your dog has been licking on your child's toy and your child puts it in his mouth and licks on it, he has a direct contact with the intestinal parasites. Don't allow your pet to use your dishes. Many people feed their pets from their own dishes. This is not very good. Use a separate bowl for your pet and wash this bowl thoroughly in a mild Clorox solution from time to time. 19. If you have a pet, clean your carpets often. Spores can easily get into carpets and then remain dormant there. Clean as often as possible. Number 20. If you have exotic pets, be extra careful. I know one woman nearby who owns a monkey. She loves it so much that she even sleeps with it. Well, I'm sure she has parasites that few other people have. Number 21. If you live on an animal farm, don't walk barefoot. You can easily pick up worms and parasites by walking barefoot on the ground. And the spores go right through the skin. And any spores from horses or cow droppings can get into your body. 22. Wash your hands after working in the garden. The soil is loaded with spores and parasites, and these can easily enter your body if you wipe your mouth. 23. Practice safe sex. This really isn't the place to give lengthy guidelines on sex, but as we have mentioned all throughout this report, the colon and anal area are usually loaded with parasites. This can also apply to the vaginal area. Each should take this information and apply it accordingly to their own lives. 24. Don't swallow mucus from your throat. Many people cough up mucus from their lungs and then swallow it. The larvae or parasites from your lungs can then get to the intestine and continue the cycle. Always get a Kleenex to remove phlegm and mucus. 25. Wash your hands well after using any bathroom. The cleaner you are, the better your chances of avoiding parasites. And here's some health advice. Number 26. Keep your colon clean. The number one thing that you can do to rid your body of worms and parasites is to keep your colon clean. Constipation is like heaven for worms. They love it. It's the environment that they thrive in. Now, most people suffer from terrible constipation, and yet they don't know it. Very few people have three healthy bowel movements a day. Most people are clobbed up like you wouldn't believe. The inside of their colon is wretched. It's a human sewer. So in conclusion, dear reader, this completes our report, and I hope you enjoyed it. Quite comprehensive and fascinating, if I may say so myself. I think the chances are excellent that if you follow some of this advice, you'll really feel rejuvenated. And when your body is clean, everything gets better. Your memory gets better, your circulation gets better, your complexion gets better, your digestion gets better, your nutrients work better. So get rid of the parasites. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how much better and how much better you feel and how you'll benefit from it. Now, the last time I covered about 10 of the cures. I remember, jot this down in your mind, put this in your computer, that internal parasites, these intestinal parasites, have three stages. First of all, there's the egg stage. That's the most difficult to kill, the eggs. Second is the larval stage. And some of these parasites don't hatch from the egg to the larval stage in your body. Sometimes they hatch in something else, and then the larva comes into your body. And it's from the larva that the adult matures from. Some of these parasites have very complex life cycles. And it's the key here is to disrupt that life cycle and to kill that parasite and remove it from your body. So in the last program, I went through about 10 of these, about 10 different herbs that are aimed at, one, killing the eggs, or two, killing the larva, or three, killing the adult. Killing the adult tapeworm, for instance, in your body is good, and you want to do that. But remember that tapeworm, before you killed him, laid 100 or 200,000 eggs in your body. Now, after that tapeworm is gone, one of those eggs is going to hatch. Not all 200,000 are going to hatch. Not all 200,000 of those tapeworms are going to attack you. If it did, you couldn't survive it. But when you have a tapeworm working in your body, that is debilitating. It causes these 56 ailments. You want to eliminate these 56 ailments, which are fairly common. Many, many people have these ailments, and they go to doctors constantly. They never get to the cause, which is the parasite. They continually treat the effect. And treating the effect doesn't solve your problem. Killing the adult does not solve your problem. You got to get rid of the larvae. You got to get rid of the eggs. So let's take a look at number 11. Number 11, cure number 11, yellow light as a method to fight parasites. Now, this is one method that very few people know about. It's based on the theory that worms and parasites do not like the color yellow. A person trained in the healing science of color therapy might know this, but there are very few color therapists in this country anymore, and most of the real experts in this field passed on many years ago. Yellow is destructive to worms, says Dr. Edwin D. Babbitt, and one famous light expert from India, Colonel Dansha, said this about the color yellow in 1939. He said, even though you might be unaware of parasites by beaming yellow on the abdominal area, if they're there, the parasites cannot stand the color and they'll move on. Another color expert, Dr. Edwin D. Babbitt, wrote this in 1878 in his book, The Principles of Light and Color. He said yellow is destructive to worms. And another book entitled Color Healing lists the color yellow as an anti-helminic, an agent that is destructive to worms. So it's interesting that insect lights, which people use in the summer to keep insects away, are colored yellow. Worms, like insects, apparently hate the color yellow. So here's the probable mechanism. When shining a yellow light on the colon, it penetrates through the deepest layers where the parasites live. This treatment may help because it is very difficult for any herbal product to reach the parasites deep in the colon walls. So I can only speculate on what happens. It seems that the yellow light waves forces them out of hiding and from their safe, dark environment. They come out in the regular bowel movement. Now, many foods and chemicals which stimulate the colon have a dominant yellow color. The effect of a yellow frequency on the body stimulates the gastric juice and helps eliminate constipation. Remember, constipation is a major cause of parasitic buildup. And according to Dr. Babbitt, using the color yellow has cured cases of chronic constipation after the best-known drugs had been tried and tried in vain. And it's fascinating to note that many of the foods and chemicals which stimulate the colon have a dominant yellow frequency. For example, castor oil is a mild cathartic, and it's yellowish. The herb senna, which is a powerful cathartic, is composed of 5 oval yellow leaves. Epsom salts is also a mild cathartic. It has a strong yellow tone in the magnesium and sulfur, but it's toned down by the cool blue of oxygen. Egg yolks in their raw state are thought to be a laxative. The yolk is brilliant yellow. Magnesium carbonate is a laxative. It has a strong yellow-green band. Prunes are a well-known laxative, and here again is the yellowish-brown or orange-brown color. Look at a bottle of Sunsweet brand prune juice. It comes with a brilliant yellow label. Even the top is yellow. And I could go on and on with many examples which show that yellow is the color which cleanses and purifies the colon. This color helps to flush the colon of wastes, and it has a laxative-like effect. Recently, I talked to a woman from Pennsylvania, and she said that she recently went to a colon therapist who remarked how clean her colon was. So I asked her what color her kitchen was, and she said yellow. And I told her I'm sure that if she painted her kitchen another color, her colon would not be as clean. Now here's another example. In Dr. Babbitt's book, he presents the following letter. A man wrote to him and said, I've tried the novel experiment of the yellow light and have been astonished at the results. I have found water charged with the sun's rays through yellow glass to be an absolute and unfailing cathartic, in small doses a gentle laxative, and in all cases exhilarative to the spirits. In another story, a lady of East Tennessee had suffered with constipation and feeble health for many years. She was advised to drink water charged in yellow bottles. And after following the advice, she wrote, my bowels have been acted upon 5 successive days, and I'm so delighted. Remember, constipation now is the friend of parasites. It's the enemy of your body. A person should be having 3 bowel movements a day. Many people have as few as 1 bowel movement a week. You can rest assured. People that are constipated to that degree are loaded with worms, and probably the worms aid in the constipation. So getting rid of the constipation, which is another story for another day, is one of the methodologies that we use for getting rid of worms and keeping the worms out. Hang on a minute. Let me give you a reminder at the midway point in our program, and we'll be right back with more on how to destroy internal parasites. You're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to the homeschooling page. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. Again, that can be accessed through the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, history, politics, religion, health, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about internal parasites, worms, in short. And what we're covering here in the last segment or the last broadcast is how do you get rid of them? There are a number of ways to get rid of parasites. They're really not that difficult to get rid of. It's a little more difficult to keep them out. In order to keep parasites out permanently, you have to change your diet. There's no other way around it. If you're in the habit of eating raw or rare cooked meats, you're going to pick up these parasites over and over and over again, which means that you have to get rid of them over and over and over again. And getting rid of the parasites can be quite a daunting task the first time. Once you get rid of them, it's easy to keep them out or to keep up with them. You may become reinfected every day, every week, or once a month, but there's only a few in there. And if every 3 or 4 months you go through one of these parasite cleansing programs, you get rid of the few parasites that are in there, and you keep up with it or you keep ahead of it. But when your body gets filled up, and the stories that we've heard where people have so many worms that it constipates them, or they've got, you know, gallons of worms that come out over a short period of time. I mean, those are people that are being eaten up with these parasites. These are people that have symptoms, one of these 53 diseases. Now listen to this. Here's how to use this yellow to fight parasites. There's a number of ways to apply this research. Although I've not used any of these methods myself, at least they've been tried in the past by others. And first, you can try getting a simple yellow light at the store. They only cost about $2.50. Get a little lamp and shine this over your bare colon. It's probably best to cover your eyes because you don't really need the light through your eyes. Besides, the yellow may affect some people adversely, which I'll cover shortly. Shine the yellow light on your colon for maybe 10 to 15 minutes a day. Keep it about 1 foot away. You have to experiment, see how you do. Maybe use it for longer. It's probably best to do this in a dark room or at night. You want just the yellow frequency. That's the yellow light. And you want to do that without being diluted by the white light. You can also try putting a sheet of transparent yellow cellophane on your colon and shining a normal light through it. Dr. Babbitt used to prescribe 2 to 4 tablespoons of yellow charged water before each meal. For those suffering with severe constipation, he used to advise a dose every hour. To do this, get a yellow colored glass bottle and leave it in a sunny window for a day or so. And note here that the best advice I can give on using yellow is to start slow. Don't overdo it. And be careful of using too much yellow if you suffer from fevers, insomnia, inflammation, diarrhea, heart problems, or severe nervous problems. Too much yellow can overstimulate your nervous system. Number 12, comfrey pepsin. These two foods used together may help to clean your small colon of excess mucus. Now, the mucus creates an ideal environment for the parasites to live in. And it also prevents nutrients from being properly absorbed. Now, if you take any anti-parasite programs, they will work better when your colon is clean. Comfrey root is gooey, and it holds the pepsin close to the intestinal wall. The pepsin then helps to digest the mucus. And you can buy comfrey root powder and pepsin at any herbal store, and you'll have to mix it yourself. If you can, mix both powders into gelatin capsules, and then take 2 capsules after each meal. All right, number 13. Hydrogen peroxide enema. According to the colon therapist that I talked to, parasites hate oxygen. In the colon, they live in an oxygen-free environment. Now, many nutritionists say that it is not natural to introduce oxygen into the colon because it's not normally present. However, I know of one colon expert who is going to oxygenate the water going into the colon because it'll kill the worms quicker. Going to a colonic therapist is not practical for everyone, and one reader told me that she has taken hydrogen peroxide enemas for years to kill worms, and it's certainly not as thorough as a colonic, but it may help. This reader felt that it did, but she stressed that it only works on the layer of the colon which is exposed, and she said that it will not work on the many deeper layers of the colon. Worms are buried in these deeper layers. So you should check with your health food store about getting a food-grade hydrogen peroxide. I don't know the exact amount that you add to the enema. This reader said that a few tablespoons mixed in 2 quarts of the enema is fine. She said to start slow. At the moment, this is all I know on this procedure, so you'll have to experiment a little. I haven't tried it myself. Number 14, Hazel Parcell's anti-parasitic program. Dr. Hazel Parcell has been researching parasites, remember, for more than 30 years, and she has developed a very effective program. You take nothing but milk for 8 days. Let me pause here and point out to you that milk, now pasteurized, is a poison. Pasteurized, homogenized milk is poison. So you should be using raw milk if you're going to use milk therapy. The parasites love the milk and they feed on it. And at the same time, you take her special herbs, which flush the parasites out of your system. For ordering information on her herbal parasite formula, write to the following address. It's Hazel Parcell, 1605 Cole, Southeast Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87106. 13. Diatomaceous Earth. Now, there's a product which is made from microscopic sea life deep in the ocean. Apparently, the worms don't like it. One woman took this, and cups of parasites came out in the toilet, all sizes, shapes, and colors. You can purchase diatomaceous earth from the following address, the Herb Shop in Springville, Utah. There's a product called K-Min, which contains diatomaceous earth. Right now, I don't know where this is available. Just check with your local health food store. By the way, diatomaceous earth can be found in, I think, any health food store. I know the ones that we frequent all have it. It's a little pricey. The other day I saw a little package come in here. It was $7.13. I don't know how much was in the package, but it was just a few ounces. Now, if you go to your feed store, he can order it for you in 50-pound bags. And I think a 50-pound bag of diatomaceous earth is about $7. I mean, diatomaceous earth is dirt cheap. It's mined. And what it is, it's the diatoms that have fallen to the bottom and have then later come up dry. Now there's a big mine out in California I know of. Let me describe the use of diatomaceous earth. It's a powder. Kind of reminds me of talcum powder. Now I got a storage building out here, and I want to keep the insects out of it. I use diatomaceous earth, which is harmless to humans, but deadly to insects. If you want to have a little fun, you just spread a little diatomaceous earth on the table and watch an ant walk across it, or a moth get covered with it. If you looked at it in a microscope, you would see that the diatomaceous earth is like a little hard crystal or rock with very sharp edges. And the sharp edges cut the insects and they bleed to death. Just drop an insect into diatomaceous earth and they'll walk around on it a little bit, cuts them to ribbons, and they just lay there and squirm and die. So I got this little storage shed down here and I put some buckets of grain in it. And I wanted to keep the insects out of the grain. Now remember that there's insects that get into the grain itself. And they eat the grain. They hatch into moths. Now, there's also other insects, you know, that crawl around here and there and everywhere. So in this little building, I put the diatomaceous earth in the top of the buckets. That's where all the insects congregate. Then I sealed the bucket. Then I put the buckets in, and then I spread the diatomaceous earth on top of the buckets. And as I built the shelves up, I sprayed them or spread diatomaceous earth. I use a sifter. And I just scoop it out and sift it around. And then I sifted it on the floor. Interesting little thing happened. The other day, I went down, I opened the door, and about four or five cockroaches who had been sleeping on the door or laying on the door between the door and the jamb fell down. Three of them fell outside and scurried away. One of them fell on the floor inside. He ran like crazy across the floor, which is sprinkled with diatomaceous earth, the whole floor. He ran about 3 feet and stopped. I went over a few minutes later after I'd finished my business, and I kicked him a little bit. He didn't run very fast, but he did run, and then he stopped again. You see, the diatomaceous earth killed the cockroach in about 5 or 6 feet of running across it. Now, here's one thing I noticed. The little building I got down here has no ants, and there's no insects, there's no moths, nothing inside that building. There are no insects, no spiders. You know, spiders come into every place and spin their webs. That building's been down there for months. There's not a spider web in it, not a spider in it, not an insect in it. Now, that's how powerful this product called diatomaceous earth is. Now, the diatomaceous earth is harmless to us. So when you're putting it on your grain or whatever it is, you grind the grain up, you ingest that diatomaceous earth. It's a worm killer is what it is, in the same way that walnut tincture is a worm killer. So tuck that one away in your heart. A little diatomaceous earth, harmless to you, deadly to worms. But it doesn't kill the eggs and it doesn't kill the larvae. It just kills the adult worms. You could probably live like that. Just take a capsule of diatomaceous earth every now and again, and then it'll clean out the worms, at least those that it touches, those that get onto it. It cuts them open, and they bleed to death. All right, now we come to black walnut tincture. That's number 15. According to the late Dr. John Christopher, black walnut can be used to rid worms of all types. He called it a vermicide, a worm-killing herb. A vermicide is an agent that causes the expulsion of worms from your body. A vermicide is an herbal agent that actually destroys them. The difference between the two often depends on the dosage. The black walnut will also help to get rid of the fungus and mold in your body, which the worms live on. When their food supply is destroyed, the worms die and leave your body. This remedy is very effective. And an easy way to take black walnut is in a tincture form. One herbalist recommends a dose of 20 to 25 drops twice a day. Now, you can order this product from the following address. Remember the herb shop back here? All of the health food stores have this black walnut tincture. Now, it's kind of pricey. A little bottle of about, I don't know, an ounce, two, three, 4 ounces. I mean, they sell it for, $10, $12. Now, let me describe how to make it. It's fairly simple. If you're out here in the eastern United States where you have walnut trees, I mean, all of you people that live from, say, eastern Kansas in a straight line straight on up into the Dakotas, on over to Maine, I think you've got black walnut trees. You pick up this black walnut in the fall of the year, like right now. You pick up the black walnuts and you stick them into a quart jar, about 7 or 8 walnuts. You don't take the walnuts out of the hulls. It's the green hull that you want. Then just take vodka and fill the jar up, seal it, that is vacuum seal it. You don't have to vacuum seal it. I just like to vacuum seal everything. Keeps all the air out and the oxygen out. And let it sit on the shelf for about 90 days, and it'll turn coal black. Then that tincture is what you take out, and you use that tincture to kill the worms. It's an herbal remedy. It's a natural remedy. It's one of the herbs, green herbs, that God gave you in Genesis 1, 28 and 29. And it's deadly to intestinal parasites. That was Dr. Christopher. One of his favorite tricks was the black walnut tincture. Number 16, colonics. I highly recommend colonics as a means to help rid the body of parasites. But you must use it in conjunction with some of the other methods mentioned above. Two of the colonic therapists that I talked to gave their patients a few key products to take at the same time or preceding the colonic. And some of these products were Zymex 2, Multizyme, black walnut tincture, and diatomaceous earth, just to mention a few. Now, if you just use colonics alone and no other method, you'll not eliminate as many of the parasites as you could. The reason for this is that some of the parasites live in other organs, such as your liver or your gallbladder, and the small intestine, even the blood itself. Cleaning the colon will not reach these nesting areas. Colonics alone will not eliminate the parasites in other organs. One colonic therapist had her patients take a lot of Zymex 2 for 3 to 4 weeks before the colonic. Another colonic therapist had some of her patients take a hydrogen peroxide IV from a medical doctor to get oxygen into the body and then kill the parasites in hard-to-reach areas. Then she would give the person a series of colonics. Another point to mention is to make sure that your colonic therapist uses a high-temperature autoclave to sterilize her colon tubing. Remember that what the one colonic therapist said, I sterilize the colon, the insert, at 280 degrees, as high as it'll go, and I do this for 30 minutes. And I sterilize everything, and I sterilize the hoses first. If your colonic therapist does not use an autoclave to sterilize the colon tubing, and if they do not use it at high enough temperatures, then the parasitic spores from the last patient may not be killed. This means you could be getting infected from the person who had a colonic before you. And then number 17, the famous pumpkin seed program for killing worms. Most people don't know that fresh pumpkin seeds are a powerful anti-parasitic food. And according to the late Dr. John Christopher, pumpkin seed is an efficient agent for expelling both tape and roundworms. It appears that the active principle is the acrid and resinous envelope surrounding the embryo. Just nibbling on a few pumpkin seeds is not enough. You must take the seeds in a special manner to expel the parasites. You have to make an infusion of the pumpkin seeds to be effective, so here's how. You steep 1 ounce of crushed seeds for 10 to 15 minutes in 2 cups of boiling water. Then you take 1 to 2 teacups per day on an empty stomach. In addition, take 1 to 2 ounces of crushed pumpkin seeds. So, number one, you steep 1 ounce of crushed seeds and then in 2 cups of boiling water. And then you take 1 to 2 teacups per day on an empty stomach. And then along with that, you take 1 to 2 ounces of crushed pumpkin seeds and just eat them. I just sit there in front of the TV watching the news and suck down pumpkin seeds. They're kind of tasty, kind of like eating sunflower seeds or some other kind of seed if you kind of like nuts. And there's a toxic chemical in those pumpkin seeds that just does not fare well with the intestinal parasites. Number 18, Dr. Shook's advice on tapeworm. Dr. Shook was a famous herbalist in the early 1930s, and he had some good advice on killing tapeworms, which appeared in one of Dr. Christopher's books called The Secrets of a Master Herbalist. And he said doctors generally let the patient fast for a day or two before taking tapeworm remedies, but this is unnecessary because the worm, being a parasite, cannot be starved. This only makes the patient feel weak and nauseated, and when he finally takes the medicine on a starved stomach, he may throw it up. So a far better way, from our experience, is to advise the patient to eat for a day or so foods that tapeworm dislikes, such as onions, garlic, pickles, and salted fish. This weakens the worm, And the weakening of the worm tends to loosen his grip so that when the medicine is taken, it acts upon the tapeworm and causes it to be expelled more easily. So you weaken the worm first rather than weakening the patient. So here is Dr. Shook's anti-parasite herbal formula. He says you take 1/2 ounce of tansy herb, T-A-N-S-Y herb, 1/2 ounce of wormwood, and 1/2 ounce of santonica buds, that's spelled S-A-N-T-O-N-I-C-A buds, and 1/2 ounce of German chamomile. Here's your instructions. You boil a quart of water, and when boiling, you pour over the herbs. Then you allow it to simmer 2 to 3 minutes. Cover the pot, cover your pan. Then allow it to cool, strain it, bottle and keep in a cool place. It's a tincture, is what it is. Then the dosage that you use is, Dr. Christopher advised, 1 tablespoon 2 times a day. Children take 1 teaspoonful a day. So you make the tincture, and then you take that tincture every day. Dr. Shook's famous tapeworm remedy for the serious students of herbology. I'm also including Dr. Shook's famous tapeworm remedy, and some of these herbs I have never heard of, but I give you this to you for now for completeness only. And then there are frozen castor oil capsules. This is one remedy which helps to loosen and flush out the nesting areas of the worms, and in many cases the black mold from the worm, from the excrement of the worm. And the castor oil acts as a cathartic, and it cleans out the colon. The colonic therapist I know recommends that people take the oil in frozen form in capsules. This way it melts in the colon instead of being absorbed elsewhere. Well, there you have it, boys and girls, the story on worms, internal parasites. Internal parasites that cause about 56 common maladies or ailments, some of them pretty serious, like epilepsy and multiple sclerosis, MS, and chronic fatigue syndrome, and migraine headaches, among others. 56 total. Well, we're just about out of time. We'll have to leave it right there. We'll come back here tomorrow night, and we'll talk about something new next week on the agenda. Remember, you've been listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. Remember, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, economics, history, health, news, and current events 7 days a week. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Or go to the webpage, georgegordon.org, click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So thanks for listening, and until then, good night, friends.